Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good. And all the time. It's wonderful to be here this morning. And I'm sure you would agree with me that we did not have to be here. We could have been taken out of this world. But God has seen fit to leave us here to give us at least one more opportunity to serve Him in spirit and in truth. So we ought to be thankful for that. This morning, we're going to speak from a subject, it pays to be a Christian. It pays to be a Christian. Before I go very much farther, I give you the church an update on Brother Beck. Brother Beck has been moved to Ingalls Rehab Center in Harvey. I do have a phone number for those of you who would like to reach him, and if you want it, I'll give it to you at the back door. I won't say I'll text it to you because I'm not that into texting, but I will if you need me to. Nevertheless, let us, Brother Beck sends his hellos and ask that you keep praying for him and that he may be soon be with us. Brother Beck actually asked me if I could come get him to bring him to church. And I suggested it would be better that if he followed his doctor's orders rather than to try to come out before it's too soon. So with that said, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Pray with me if you will. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us. From the earliest of our existence down to this present moment, we're so thankful, O Lord, that you have blessed us. We pray for the entire congregation and their families that they all might be continue to be blessed, because many started on this road, this journey, at the same day that we did, but some of them are no longer with us, but we're so thankful that you've seen fit to leave us here. We thank you, Father. We pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and each and every one of them that shall follow, that come from this point on forward. We pray that our worship service will be found faithful and acceptable in thy sight, and that you approve of it, O Lord. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in, namely Brother Beck and any others that I can't remember. We thank you and ask you to heal them if it be your will, O Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to be with this congregation as we strive to bring the word, to bring the light to a dark world. We thank you, Father. We pray and ask you, Father, to accept our worship service if it be found favorable and acceptable in thy sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for our leaders in this world in which we live. We pray that they not make any rules or regulations that would harm us or stop us from worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for the family of the slain policeman. We pray for the families of those slain children down in Florida. Father, we just pray and ask you to make this world a better place. Give people a heart that they may learn to use the heart that you have given them and accept your will and let your ways be within them. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for those who are behind prison bars. We just thank you, Lord, and ask you to teach them to know that you are the way and that you are the only way that they can find their salvation. Thank you, Father. Now, my Heavenly Father, go with us, watch over and keep us now while we go into our services. Be with us and accept our services if it be found acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name, the one who went to Calvary's cross, the one who hung, bled, and died, that we might have a right to the tree of life. In his name I ask it all. Amen. Amen. It pays to be a Christian. I've touched on some of what I shall be speaking of this morning in the several in the last several weeks and months, but I feel that the word of God bears repeating. Why? Because it is what's going to save us. Many people question the validity of becoming a Christian. They offer all kinds of excuses for not being a Christian or not becoming a Christian. Excuses like, that would be too much to give up. I would have to give up some of my friends. It would take me away from doing what I like to do, like hunting and fishing, all sorts of other pleasures. It's time consuming. It would cost me money. Doesn't everything? I would say to these excuses, what one gains is far greater than what one gives up. For sure, becoming a Christian will cost us some things, but it's nothing compared to our gains. One final one we hear quite often is, it would mean I wouldn't be able to sleep on Sunday morning. Well, there you have a few of the excuses I've heard before, and I'm sure you've heard some of them too. But our text today comes from from Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26, as Brother Lowe read for your hearing. The Bible says, I'll reread them. The Bible says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? Now I read you read to your hearing from Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27. It pays to be a Christian in this life. Life is given to us, but it is not given without trials, sorrows, and heartaches. I always like to point out Job in Job 14:1, where he says, our days are few and full of trouble. This can be seen as in a child comes forth, he may be sometimes cut down in the cradle. So sometimes a few days is but a few, and in those few days we may have trouble. But if man lives right, heaven can become his home, where he will not find troubles and heartaches anymore. When trouble does come in his life, there is nowhere to turn for help that man has to offer us. But if one knows the Lord, we can turn to him and he can help us. It may not be the kind of help we want, but God always knows what we need. Amen. To say the least, he can offer us grace, strength, and courage. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse 9, where Paul had an issue, a thorn in the flesh, in other words? But Jesus did not eliminate the problem as Paul wanted. Instead, he let Paul know that his grace was sufficient. His grace was sufficient for him, and his strength is made perfect in weakness. When we have troubles, just ask the God that I know to help us. It is assuring to know that we have God with us. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 and verses 2, the Bible says where the Lord was speaking to the Jews was having trouble. God spoke to him. He said, fear not, O Israel, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall thy kindle upon thee. Isn't it wonderful, church, to know that these troubles shall come and God has a way of fixing it all. God is our buffer against trouble. God's list covered everything to those Israelites. Those people that they might have to face. Flood, water, and fire. And he can cover us too. You know, sometimes troubles get on us. And it's hard to shake those troubles. It's hard to get rid of those troubles. It's hard sometimes because man doesn't have a way to get rid of trouble sometimes. But God knows just how to fix everything that might be upsetting or that might be bothering you. But it pays to be a Christian. It pays to be a Christian even in the hour of death. If one is right with God, there is nothing to fear in death. One can be comforted knowing that Jesus is with him. For the text in verse number 25 tells us, if one shall lose his life for the sake of Christ, shall find it. No one can be a loser in life. One can be a loser in life, but become a winner in the end. Let us look at the testimony of several biblical people, of a couple of biblical people, if I can get this together. David's testimony in Psalms 23 and verse number 4. He said, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As long as we walk with God, there is no reason to fear. God, for the word tells us in Hebrews 13 and 5, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor ever forsake thee. Stephen testified in Acts chapter 7, around about verse number 55. He was about to be stoned to death, but he found comfort in knowing that God was with him. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. God's children have nothing to fear ever in this their hour of death. Verse 55 and verse 56 of Acts 7 tells us two things. It tells us, number one, who is watching over us? God and Jesus. Where are they at? They're in heaven. And finally, there's the testimony of that old soldier, Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he talked of how that he was aware his departure, his death, in other words, was at hand. He listed his accomplishment in how he had kept the faith. What a wonderful thought it is to be able to know that one has done his best in life and just wait on the Lord. No Christian should ever be afraid of death. It should be considered as homegoing. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 1, the Bible teaches us that we realize one day this earthly house shall be dissolved and we shall go home. Home for a Christian is hope to be in heaven. Isn't that right, church? It pays to be a Christian all the time. It pays to be a Christian for all eternity. Both heaven and hell will be eternal. That's where the similarities end. The biggest difference is that one, you will burn with the eternal fire. The other is that you have streets that are paved with gold. One is the home of Satan. The other is the home of Jesus Christ. So the question in our text ask us, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good is it if a person has more money, fame, and fortune than another? What matters is this. Did one serve the God of heaven and the other disobeyed the God of heaven? Verse 27 gives us a clue, and that should make the difference to anyone who wants to go home to Jesus. What work will you have on your record? Will it be good or will it be bad? One day each and every one of us shall come to die. Not if we die, but shall come to die. We are going someplace. We are going to be assigned someplace in the judgment to go. Either heaven or hell. This is when it shall make a difference on how you live. This is when it won't make a difference what kind of job you had, how you worked, how much money you made. The only thing will matter is when you lived for the, did you live for the Lord or not? Because your savings account won't purchase you a place in heaven. Nor will our popularity give us choices of a better position before the Master, who shall be our judge. The things that will matter are being calculated while we yet live by the Master of our souls. Our cars won't drive us to heaven, so it won't make any difference what kind of car you drive. But because of them, it may send us to hell. If we care more about them than we do about the Lord, our dollars won't get us any closer to the Master, but they can cause us to miss heaven because we love them more than we love the Lord. Think about how much you gave to the church the last time the basket came by you. Did you give $5 when you could have given $20? When the collection plate come, how many times did you just pass it on without adding anything to it? I asked the question this morning. How much is God worth to you? How much was the flowers that you smelled worth to be able to smell them? How much was the food and water that you ate and drank worth to you? How much is the breath that you just taken worth to you? When is the doubt, when in doubt, give it to the Lord, because without giving to us, where would we be? Thank God for allowing me to be a Christian. I know it pays to be a Christian. It pays. Thank God for the pay that allowing me to be a Christian brings to us while here on this earth, so that I can see and be with Him in the eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Women or ladies, if you have a Christian husband, be thankful for him, and you ought to give back to God. Men, if you have a Christian wife, that's something to be thankful for, and you need to give it back to God as He has given unto you. And if you just happen to be without a wife or a husband and you so desire one, you ask the Lord through prayer to give you one, and He'll see that if you need one, He'll give you one. Now, I tell you something. When you look at this lesson again, the text again, you see that Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now that's a question to ponder. That's a question to think on for a while. That's a question that you have to ask for yourself. How much is it worth to save your own soul? How much will God expect from us? First of all, God doesn't expect a lot from us. God doesn't expect very much. He expects obedience to His word. He expects us to be fruitful and multiply in His word. He expects us to teach others when we know. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing to know something about God and then keep it all to yourself? It's not a wonderful thing. I just put that in front of that. But it is a wonderful thing when you teach others about the living God. And somebody might ask the question, Lord, I don't know enough to teach others about God. Well, you never know until somebody asks you a question. You'll never know how much you know until you find that somebody asks that one particular question. And that may spur you on, and you may just go on and on and on about God. You know, it's wonderful for us to testify of God. It's wonderful when we can call upon the Lord God, our Heavenly Father. It's wonderful to know that God hears us when we pray. But then somebody may say, well, if he hears me, why doesn't he answer me? Well, sometimes you be asleep and you don't see the answer, and the answer is right in front of you. Sometimes we expect more than what God gives. But God is the giver of all things, and he can give us anything that he desires to give us. But you got to be prayerful and vigilant in it, and you got to be expecting. I mean, why would you pray if you don't have faith that God will answer you? You've got to pray, and you've got to believe that God can send whatever it is you're asking for. And God doesn't do house calls like we think house call. Think of a house call. He doesn't come and knock on your door and say, I'm here. But he does it through his word. And if you ever want the word of God to be in your heart, you got to study it. You know, studying the word of God is an age-old thing to do. It's an age-old tradition. Studying the word of God means not only just opening your Bible and just say, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. Studying the word of God means just that, studying, not just reading. It means to try to get an understanding. And my phone is not off the hook if I can help you. So call me. Call one of the elders, Brother Jackson or Brother Burnside. Let them explain it to you. Because I don't know it all. And I'm not going to pretend to know it all. I'm just going to say I'll help you if I can, if you call me. Now I tell you something about God and his word. God wants us to use his word to lift him up. God wants us to be able to lift him up, and then he wants us to lift others up while we are here on this earth. God means a lot to me, and he should mean a lot to you. And if you don't know God, you need to learn about God. If you don't know him, you need to get to know him. If God gave you that husband or that wife that I spoke of a minute or two ago, and he or she was not a Christian when you met them, but now they have become a Christian, you ought to be thankful for it. You know, there's something about marriage. It's a good thing. The Bible says if a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Thank you, sir. And I just believe in Genesis 2:24 where it says a man is to leave his parents and cleave. Now, you don't put an L in front of that and make it leave. You got to cleave. Now, and when you, it's too much leaving going on and not enough cleaving going on. And cleaving, both of these two terms show action, so both of them are verbs. One of them says, I'm staying, and the other one says, I'm going. One means I'm waving goodbye as I walk down the street. The other one means I'm sitting in the house watching TV, sitting there with you. And you got to know the difference between the two of them. You can't cleave and leave at the same time. You got to do one or the other. You got to do one or the other. You got to leave or you got to cleave. And the Bible says you need to cleave. And so that's where I would fall, my favor would fall to cleaving. And if you're cleaving, then you ain't leaving. Then and if you're leaving, you ain't cleaving. So I brought this in. I just threw this in as a side note in the message this morning. And I threw it in because I'm seeing too much leaving these days. You know, you can go and sometime on the bus, as you see the bus driving down the street, it says divorce in one day. Now, you've been together for 25 years, and you want a one-day divorce. I've been over in the country of Mexico, and I passed the signs on the street, say instant divorce. Divorce right away. That's when you're leaving. But if you're cleaving, you ain't looking for that sign. You're looking for the sign that helps me to stay. You're looking for a sign that says, I'm going to be cleaving. I'm going to be here. And my wife may as well just get used to me because I ain't going nowhere. And I'm cleaving. I'm trying to follow the Bible. And if it pays to be a Christian, and being a Christian means I ought to follow the Bible. Isn't that right, church? And following the Bible will get me to what's right, and it never lead me astray. And if I stay in the Bible, I'll stay with the Lord. And if I stay with the Lord, I've got an opportunity to get to heaven one day. And if I get to heaven one day, I'm going to walk around heaven just like the song says. I'm going to walk around heaven all day. I'm going to be a walking fool, if you will. And I just want you to know that if you don't have a husband, like I said, or you don't have a wife, and you desire to have one, ask the Lord that he might give you one. And that he gives you the right one. He's not going to give you the wrong one. He's going to give you the right one. What is the right one, or what is the right husband or wife? One that's going to do right. One that's going to be there when you need them to be there. One that's going to cleave with you. And y'all make this cleaving a group thing, if you will. And not a singular leaving thing. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it pays to be a Christian. And you need to get your house in order. Now, my time is pretty much up now. But I'm going to run just one other float this by you, too. I'm going to float this one by you. If you got a significant spouse, I said a significant spouse. I didn't say a significant other. Because other covers too much territory these days. Others cover everything that's not meant to be. But if you got a spouse, a Christian spouse, and you a Christian person too, thank God for it. And when that collection tray comes around, oh, y'all knew I was going to get around to the collection. When that collection plate passes you, don't let it go get by you without putting something in it. And I know that you got something because you dressed the way you ought to have something. And when you got something, you're supposed to share it with the Lord. You're supposed to put a little something in there. Don't hit the bottom of it so it sounds like coins jingling going in there. Put something in there. Put a little something in there. And the Bible teaches us to give as we have prospered. That means if I gave you something, you ought to give me something back. Not because I charge you for it, but because I just want you to do the right thing. Not because I need anything, but because I already have everything. So why are you trying to pretend that you're putting something in there when you're not putting nothing in there? And I don't ever want to, hopefully I'll never see the board at what it was a couple of weeks ago. Now I know a lot of you wasn't here a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to reveal what was on the board. But I just want you to know that the board was shameful. And we need to do better. And if you stop charging so much, you could do better. Now, I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but I'm telling you what to do with the money that's left for God. And you're supposed to take God's money off first. When you get it, you're supposed to set aside God's money. Now, I don't know what method you use. Do you put it in an old sock? Do you put it in an envelope? Or just how you do it, but however you do it, take God's money first and you have the rest of it. And I'll guarantee you, you'll have more than what you gave to God. For yourself. That's the way he works. So as I said, I was only going to do one more thing, so I'm going to stop now. I'm going to stop and just say, if there's anyone here who's not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing. But if you are already a member, but somewhere you went astray, you know, you slipped a little bit. You fell off the horse, off the track. You can't win the race if you're not in the race. And if you're in the race, that means you try to stay on the track. So by staying on the track, if you fall down, you get up and dust yourself off and keep going. Now, I fell last week in the snow. And I couldn't get up. Because every time I pushed down, the snow pushed me farther down. And I didn't have no solid footing. But you see, that's the difference in being a Christian and serving the right God. There is a foundation for you to push up on. So it pays to be a Christian, and you ought to get that foundation right. So if you went astray, but you already got your foundation in order, you ask God to forgive you, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may grow stronger and be obedient to the Lord's word. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.